couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
I am a little bit sad today, and I'll tell you why.
You are sad.
This is the last week of Halloween.
The
last week of October.
Because, you know.
So, I mean, it's I love horror movies, and I know it's coming to an end, and so that's distressing for me. Mm. But I'm pushing forward. I'm excited because that means I can watch more horror movies.
Yes, it does. You've got a few more days to squeeze them in.
I can cram them in. But then we hit the whole holiday season. And
well, you know, now after this, it's award season. Through the rest of the year.
Yeah. We go from horror movies, like 80s slashers, to weepy melodramas.
It's true.
And
I know we're supposed to be really excited about it, but some of them, like, ugh.
Some of them are amazingly tough to get through. But no, hey, you know, we push forwards because that's what we do.
I think it was last year that I was at my in-laws for Christmas, and we were trying to find a movie to watch and going through the screeners that I had. And I was like, okay, I talked to my brother-in-law, what do you want to see? He's like, something that's not depressing. I'm like, well, that could be kind of tough.
There's like this handful of like the quirky comedies that they're hoping to get some sort of, you know, off-kilter awards. Like the Broadcast Film Critics Association has a best comedy and a best action film. So we get a couple of those. But then everything else is like last year when we had The Impossible. Where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, you want to see the movie about the tsunami? Or do you want to see the movie about this awful thing that happened?
Yeah. That is award season.
Or even like Les Miserables, which is a good movie and it's a mainstream film, but it's not exactly an uplifting movie.
I understand why people get so depressed in December. It's because they're watching the movies that we are, because by the end of the year, I'm pretty depressed.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. But I like watching horror movies now, so.
There you go.
This is my last push.
It's a different kind of death and yes. destruction.
Yes. Or like Fred Gwynne says in Pet Sematary, sometimes dead is better.
There you go.
There we are. Anyways, today we're not going to talk too much about horror movies because we already did. But we're also going to talk about Bad Grandpa. We're going to talk about The Counselor, All is Lost, Haunter. There's a horror movie.
There you go.
And DVD and Blu-rays and news and all that good stuff. You can get a hold of us at Fat Guys at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can call us at 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the web. On the interweb. The World Wide Web. At fatguysatthemovies.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KDK Reviews.
That's right. And again, phone number 740-205-6456. We will not answer if you're a creditor. I don't answer any phone that's a creditor. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We got a little bit of a soundbite from Johnny Knoxville talking about Bad Grandpa, just an idea of what to expect when we do the review.
There's a lot of my father's sayings in Irving and a lot of mannerisms, but basically he's a more perverted version of myself.
There you have it.
So it's a more perverted version of himself, which is hard to believe. It's possible with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, who knew?
So let's move on to news. There's some news. Speaking of perverted stuff, there's an interesting news story.
There you go.
Finally, just under the wire.
Yes.
They got the new guy to play. Is it Dorian Gray? No, it's Christian Gray.
Whatever.
For 50 Shades of Gray. And it's, I'm trying to read my handwriting, Jamie Dornan?
Yes, that is it.
I have no idea who he is, but you watch Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, which I was reading that. They're like, oh, he's currently on Once Upon a Time. Like, that character was killed off like early last season, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, he hasn't been around for a while.
They said, give me the TV actor who does not have a gig on television right now.
Right.
Like Charlie Hunnam does.
But, you know, he used to be an underwear model, so I mm-hmm. guess that'll fit. But, you know, I was reading...
No pun intended.
Yeah, there you go. I was reading something in this article about how Charlie Hunnam was supposedly going to make $125,000 for this movie.
Yeah. And you know what that means? He is a lousy agent.
Yeah.
Because what?
I know. I saw that. I'm like, hold on. That's got to be a typo. $125,000 for 50 Shades of Grey.
Now, I wouldn't expect he'd command a $10 million salary.
No, but still.
But at least, like, I mean, for the lead in this movie, that's going to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
A lot of people are going to see this movie.
Yeah. And how many books are there? Three?
I think so.
Three books. Yeah. So what was he hedging his bet, going, well, I'll do that first one for cheap, and then I'll up my price for the next one.
The next one will be $10 million.
Yeah.
Aha.
Nope, that won't happen. Mm. Not now, it won't.
No.
So I don't know. I guess this guy. I find it interesting about this movie is that they're not casting anybody that anybody knows who they are.
No.
Even the girl who plays Atticus, you know, Swizzlestick or whatever her name is. No, the kid from the middle is not in this movie. That would be awesome, though. I mean, he's young. Maybe wait a couple of years, then cast him.
There you go.
In the movie.
Okay.
All right. This is bizarre.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Let's move on to the next news story. This was one that tickled your funny bone.
Yeah.
It's all about Michael Bay.
It is about Michael Bay, and we love Michael Bay.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Michael Bay is entertaining. Shall we say that? He is entertaining.
Okay.
And now last week on the set of Transformers 4 in Hong Kong, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Michael Bay got attacked.
Yes.
By a crazy man with an air conditioner.
I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't even know either.
I really don't. There's a book. Did you ever read The Langoliers by Stephen King?
No.
There's a guy.
Is there an air conditioner in it?
No, but he like beats somebody up with a toaster.
Oh.
This guy wraps a toaster in a blanket and then beats the holy shale out of somebody.
Okay.
But that's what I thought of when I saw this. An air conditioner.
It's a really interesting story.
Was it a switchblade air conditioner?
Because apparently there were a couple of brothers who were trying to get more money out of them because they were.
They were causing a nuisance is what they were doing, and they're trying to get a location fee out of them.
Right. But the best part about this is Michael Bay's take on it.
Just the Michael Bay filter of this.
Yes. Now, I actually copied the quote from the article that we had. And Michael Bay says, "But it took seven big guys to subdue him. It was like a zombie in Brad Pitt's movie World War Z. He lifted seven guys up and tried to bite them. He actually bit into one of the guard's Nike shoe. Insane. Thank God it was an Air Max. The bubble popped, but the toe was saved."
Wow.
So there you go.
I don't know if any of that actually happened.
Crazy zombies. It all happened in Michael Bay's head.
In Michael Bay.
And you know the movie is coming out in 2016.
I'm sure that the quote continues on going, "And then Megan Fox was there standing in front of a carburetor. Steam was coming up, blowing her hair. And then like, boom. And then an underwear model shows up. Shia LaBeouf runs in going, no. Who knows?
Yeah.
I have no idea what. Michael Bay lives in a fantasy world.
And
like,
I believe he was talking about, you know, these guys being all coked up and crazy. And it kind of makes you wonder after reading this description, who was the one who was coked up, Michael Bay?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much of this I believe. I honestly, it's almost like he was describing a scene from his movie. And then they didn't realize there was some reporters there like transcribing it or using shorthand, not realizing he's explaining to somebody how to act against the fake Transformers that you can't see on set.
I can just see that what actually happened was, you know, this guy came up and wanted money, and Michael Bay said, "No, I'm not giving you any money." And the guy stomped his foot walked away.
This is what happened. They came up, and they had a fan, like a Chinese fan or something like that.
Nice.
That's what he called the air conditioner. And then Michael Bay, like, grabs his privates and goes running away screaming, "Security!" And then they show up and somebody kicks him in the face.
I think this is more entertaining than any of the movies that Michael Bay has made in several years.
Absolutely.
I would like to see this movie.
This would be a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Get working on it. And then you need to have Peter Berg direct it. We've got a couple development news here. They're notes. They're basically, we might do this. That's basically what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bruce Campbell said he's going to do Army of Darkness 2.
Yes.
Like literally 20 years after the last one came out.
And why not?
There's a lot of, it's going to be fat Bruce Campbell versus the Evil Dead is what
I know.
I love Bruce Campbell. And
I do too.
I've met him a couple times. I've interviewed, he seems to be a really cool guy. But yeah, he is not in the same shape he was in when he did the first Evil Dead.
That is an understatement.
Any
yes.
of the Evil Deads.
Yes. But apparently Sam Raimi is attached to the project too, that he's putting it on the front burner, finally, moving it up. So we'll see.
This is going to be one of those movies that's going to make $10 million its entire run and do very well in video.
Yes.
People will go, why not? It's a beloved movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, also in development news.
Speaking of movies that came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, Tim Burton is going to direct Beetlejuice 2.
And why not?
What blows my mind is the coverage this is getting. People are going, well, this might redeem his career. And I'm like, really?
Beetlejuice 2?
This is what's going to save him?
All right.
Okay. Well, that works. That's about it. There's another news story, but we'll talk about it later because it's not going to happen for years. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about The Counselor and Bad Grandpa.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Boo! Only a couple times I can say that.
There you go. Yeah, you're almost done with that.
Yeah, next week it's going to be November. We're going to be talking turkeys.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Are you working on your turkey impersonations? Because I'm sure you've got a really good one. That was terrifying. Maybe you should work on that a little bit more.
I don't know.
So yeah, we just finished up talking about some very exciting action-packed news.
Yes.
Yes, with Michael Bay.
With air conditioners and
Nikes.
And
I think that's about as exciting as it gets this week,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, no, there's some fun stuff.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about movies, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, first up is The Counselor. Michael Fassbender stars as a lawyer who turns to drug trafficking to support his opulent lifestyle.
Counselor, I always thought a law degree was a license to steal, but you for one hadn't really capitalized on it.
I don't intend to take this up as a trade. A one-time deal, right?
You may think there are things that these people are simply incapable of. There are not.
I'll try and remember that.
Good.
Have you been bad?
Ooh, nice word.
Opulent? You like that?
What does opulent mean?
I don't know.
Ms. Tharis?
I don't know. I just looked it up.
This one, we didn't get a chance to see this one. They didn't screen it locally for us. It's getting some mixed to positive reviews. I'm hearing some good stuff about it, but I'm also hearing some, eh.
Well, the interesting thing, it's Ridley Scott. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's Ridley Scott. And it was written by Cormac McCarthy, who did No Country for Old Men and The Road. And
it also does not star Russell Crowe, which usually is a bad sign for a Ridley Scott.
Really? I don't know.
Body of Lies?
I don't know. Ridley Scott has done some also.
Both of those were terrible.
A Good Year. That was with...
That was with Russell Crowe. Yeah. Both of those were... They're terrible movies.
Right. I thought you said that it does not bode well that Russell
Crowe
isn't
in it. No, it's good that he's not in it because those are bad movies.
Okay, good. All right. Okay. That's
Sorry.
Fine.
Now we got that cleared up.
Now that we're on the same page. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be grim because it's Cormac McCarthy. He's not exactly like Mr. Rogers.
No, he's not.
No. Actually, we have a soundbite from him talking about the characters and sort of what to expect from the movie.
I would say that The Counselor is basically a classical figure in tragedy. He's a decent guy who gets up one morning and decides to do something wrong, and that's all it takes. And, many tragedies in literature are just that. You only have to do one thing wrong. Whereas other people can lead hideous lives and do everything wrong and die peacefully in their beds at the age of 102. But The Counselor's not one of them.
He sounds relatively happy.
Doesn't,
as a guy.
Even listening to him, I'm like,
I kind of expected Cormac McCarthy to sound like Stephen Wright, to be like, oh, this movie, a lot of people die.
It is interesting because you watch the trailer and you're like, this seems like a kind of action-packed, fun kind of movie. Mm-hmm. But it was written by Cormac McCarthy, so I'm not sure where this movie's going.
This could be like The American, where all the action scenes were in the trailer.
It could be.
So,
but it's got Javier Bardem, and he looks kind of wacky in it. So there's that. Brad Pitt's in it. Everybody's in this movie.
I think Javier Bardem does his best performances when he looks bizarre.
It's true.
You know, like No Country for Old Men.
Exactly.
Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So we also have something from Ridley Scott, a little bit of note on that one.
It's an emotional roller coaster that starts to evolve and insidiously grows into a pace that becomes really uncomfortable. So the feeling is rare during the film, and as it starts to really take off and move into the third act, there's an inevitability to the fact that something awful is going to happen.
This is an interesting... I'm excited to see this movie.
Yeah, I'm interested
excited.
To see it.
We'll probably... You know, I'm seeing it this weekend. Then we'll probably get like a award screener for it like next week. And I'll be like, you could have sent this a week ago.
Yeah. So that would be nice.
Anyways, it gets a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us.
That it does.
You are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Next up, we have a movie that is sure to win awards.
Yes. Yeah, speaking of award season movies.
Yes. And that is Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Johnny Knoxville extends his Bad Grandpa sketch into a full-length feature about an old man on a road trip with his grandson.
You're getting tired?
Yeah. You shouldn't drink so much. Are we going to get in trouble for this?
They won't notice a thing. That's how it looks most of the time anyway.
What are y'all doing?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm taking you to your dad so he can look after you. Come on, let's have some fun.
You're going to fix that penguin, bro.
Nope.
Hmm. Do you, first of all, I'm curious whether what you think of just sort of the whole Jackass phenomenon.
I'm not a big fan of the Jackass stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Never really got into it.
I'm going to make an interesting comparison.
Okay.
I'm going to compare Jackass to Banksy.
Okay.
And here's why. Because, did I say his name right?
Yes.
Banksy. Okay. Everyone's like, oh, Banksy's a great artist. Great artist. It's so awesome. And everyone wants to have a Banksy. But nobody wants the people who want to be Banksy. No one wants, because everyone's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if like Banksy defaced the front of your building? Well, yeah, because you'd have a Banksy and you'd have it on your building.
Yeah.
But nobody wants the guy who's trying to be Banksy defacing the front of their building. And that's the way I felt about Jackass. Jackass, I thought, was a very funny show, and it had made some very funny movies. It's all the people that then got their cameras and thought, oh, we're going to go to the buffet and sneeze in the soup.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that I want to punch in the groin.
There you have it.
Yeah. And speaking of groin punches, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa is, here's the thing. First of all, it's bizarre because I was worried about it because I thought this is not going to work.
It seems to be a little bit like Johnny Knoxville as Sacha Baron Cohen to me.
Yeah. Well, but then it's also this, you're like, can they take this one little sketch and make a whole movie out?
Right.
They do put a story to it.
And there's
a bizarre amount of heart to the story.
Which is kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So it does actually, and you can tell it's a little forced at times. And then the stunts they pull on the pranks is a lot funnier than I thought it would be. And and they have enough different things happening. And a lot of them is just them goofing that they fit in this movie. But it's actually very funny. It's raunchy. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's no surprise.
You see things that you'd rather not see. Let's just put it that way.
I've read about a few of them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would rather not see them.
It has some very funny moments and some very irreverent moments. And there's one scene at the very end. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to spoil anything. But there's a scene at the end that I think actually transcends what it was trying to do because it actually is making an interesting statement about something, but I don't think they meant it to.
I doubt it.
But I sat there watching it and I go, this is actually quite fascinating, what they unintentionally say in this movie. But it's funny. I mean, it's crass. It's gross. It's dirty jokes.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But it's funny.
Okay.
It made me laugh way more than I thought I should have. And that's the way I was with, like, every Jackass movie. I was like that. I was like, okay, this is actually really funny. This scene, that was pretty hilarious. So. And it was filmed in Ohio.
Was it?
Parts of it were. Yeah.
I did not even know that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And there's a guy I do radio with whose father was in one scene. And he was telling me about it, and he's like, oh, no, they didn't tell anybody this was happening. Because you always wonder, did they just say, act surprised?
Mm-hmm.
But there are some incredibly hilarious prank moments to it. So I'm going to give it a grade of kind of rocks.
All right.
Big surprise. So anyways, that's about it. When we come back, we got to go to break, but when we come back, we're going to talk All Is Lost and Haunter. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about a horror movie here because, again, Halloween.
A horror movie.
But before we get to the horror movie.
I was going to say.
Let's talk about
really
the one.
This really isn't a horror movie.
Let's talk about the one with the guy with the wrinkly mask on.
Okay.
That would be All Is Lost.
With Robert Redford.
Robert Redford. I don't even know what that was.
I have no idea.
I don't even think that is not an accent known to humanity over the entirety of human history.
No, but I'm glad you just came up with it.
Yes.
Good job.
Trademark. TM. Anyways, Robert Redford plays a man alone at sea on a boat that is failing him.
This is the Virginia Jean with an SOS call, over. This is Virginia Jean with an SOS call, over.
And there you have it.
That is
pretty much it.
That is the sum total of every dialogue line that's in that entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's all in the trailer, and it's all in our trailer. Because honestly, when I was cutting this, I'm like, well, I could just have like 30 seconds of shh.
That is pretty much what this movie is. And that's the thing. You know, this should not be a good movie.
No, it should be awful.
It should be a terrible movie. And I have to say that going into it, I was like, oh, I can't believe I have to sit through this movie, because there is nothing to this movie.
There is no dialogue.
There are a couple lines. Other than the opening monologue, there are maybe four lines in this entire movie.
There is one moment where he goes, "Con!"
Which is probably the most exciting part of the movie.
He doesn't actually say "Con."
But yeah, you know, there's no dialogue. Mm. It's just Robert Redford. I mean, he is the only person in this movie.
Is this... I never read Old Man in the Sea.
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't?
Actually,
you should have.
I know I should have.
Where were you in college?
I was reading other things.
Oh, okay. Hmm. But I'm not familiar with The Old Man in the Sea, but is this pretty much kind of a update of that at all? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I'm stupid, and I only watch movies. I thought I'd ask the resident literature expert here.
I was too busy reading Heart of Darkness for the 15th time.
you were too busy reading the Lost City of Zinj.
Seriously.
Which they based Congo on.
Heart of Darkness. We had to read that like 12 times.
Wow.
So anyway, there is no dialogue in this movie.
No.
There are no characters except this one. He has no background, no name.
No context of who he is. I mean, you assume he at least has some money because he had a boat.
You have no idea why he's out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is nothing to this movie.
Yeah.
Yet somehow...
It's kind of compelling.
It is very compelling.
Yeah.
And it amazes me because, yeah, I have no idea why, but it's one of those movies that you get into it. And because Robert Redford is Robert Redford, and he is really amazing in this role.
Mm.
He is. I mean, because he has no lines. And he has to tell the whole story just through his reactions, and he has to build a character just through the way that he reacts to things.
See, he's getting tons of praise for it. Mm-hmm. But I would say he's the weak link in the movie, actually.
Really?
And the reason is that even though it has almost no dialogue, every time he opens his mouth and talks, it took me completely out of the movie.
Huh.
Because without it, you were just like, and he was way too, he's kind of old.
Well, and maybe that's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just the writing. Because, you know,
there wasn't much of it.
Five lines were poorly written.
I just felt it could have been played by anybody. I mean, they still needed to have that presence.
Well, yeah.
But he felt just really kind of old for it. I wasn't wild about him. He didn't bother me in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have been more. It would have been like if like Clint Eastwood was in it.
Sure.
And I mean, Clint Eastwood is, it's because then you look at him and you're like, oh, that's just Clint Eastwood, or that's just Robert Redford, as opposed to, well, to take another movie of somebody at sea is Captain Phillips.
Okay.
Tom Hanks, I think, really kind of became the character. He's not known as being this chameleon necessarily, but you didn't always say, oh, that's just Tom Hanks. I didn't, at least. Mm. And I felt that, whereas Gravity, you're like, oh, that's just George Clooney or Sandra Bullock, you know. I don't know.
Which is funny because we actually saw this on the same day that we saw Gravity.
Yes.
And these two movies back to back, I would not recommend it.
No.
And, you know, they're still both, they're very good movies, but man, that was one exhausting day.
There's a lot of strandedness
yes.
in these movies. But I thought it was well done, well paced for especially the type of movie it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks.
I am going to say the same. Kind of rocks.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Daria Kramer and Kevin Carr. What's up next?
Up next, we have your horror movie that you've been looking forward to.
Yay.
It's Haunter. Abigail Breslin stars as a moody teen who discovers a dark secret in her family's home and reaches out to try to save another family from danger.
I have mac and cheese for lunch, and we have meatloaf for dinner. We go to bed, wake up tomorrow, and do the exact same thing.
Please.
Hello?
This is my house, Lisa!
How'd I do with that?
You did great. That actually doesn't give much away.
Yeah, that was tough. We were talking about that at the break, how difficult it was to write the summary for this, because there is so much that you can give away. Mm. And but that's what makes the movie fun.
Yeah.
Not knowing what's going on in the beginning.
Part of the reason I really wanted to see this, and it's available on video on demand, and it's in limited release, but, mm-hmm. but if it's not in your theater, you can go get it on iTunes and Amazon
mm-hmm.
elsewhere. It's like $6.99 on Amazon. It's not a bad price.
Mm, okay.
But I wanted to see it because it's Vincenzo Natali, and I
right.
love his stuff.
Yeah, I know you love Splice.
I loved Splice. I loved Cube.
I hated Splice.
I thought Cypher was a highly underrated movie. Have you seen Cypher?
Nope.
That's a really good one.
This is exponentially better than Splice.
Well, I loved Splice.
I know you did.
But it's not as twisted as Splice. It's, in essence, let me just put it, frame it out, it's basically a Twilight Zone episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what, yeah. And I love those kind of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah. It's not, you know, a slasher flick or mm-mm. some crazy horror movie. It's just, it's kind of a ghost story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also, I find it interesting coming out because I recently watched Insidious, and of course Insidious 2, and mm-hmm. I recently watched The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same kind of movie that uses light and shadow and darkness, mm-hmm. and it relies more on atmosphere and creepiness.
Yeah, it's an eerie, creepy mm-hmm. movie, and it's mysterious. That's mm-hmm. what I enjoyed about it, that
yeah.
you don't really know what's going on for much of the movie, and that's what makes it kind of fun.
And the other thing is it is a ghost story, but it takes mm-hmm. it from a completely different perspective.
Yes.
And
it's quite clever, really.
Yeah, and that's like when I first saw it, I don't want to take it, like you said, I don't want to give too much away.
No.
But I knew what the story was about, and I'm kind of like, oh, well, is it going to take like a half hour to reveal if this is what it is? And I'm like, no, it's from the beginning, you get it.
Yeah.
From the beginning, you know kind of how the ghost story works.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because it's not a spoiler because that's the, in fact, the setup of the film.
Right. And, you know, sometimes it's a little sleepy. Sometimes it gets to a point where all of a sudden I was like, okay, now I don't know what's going on. I'm a little confused as yeah. to what's going on right now and how it all works.
There are also a couple points where it's just – and I see this a lot with these, like, really small independent kind of movies. Every now and then you kind of stumble into something where you're like, ooh, that was a bad line read.
Yeah.
Or especially the mom. The mom's in the movie. She's not yeah. very good. And then there's also a couple scenes where they shoot it and just kind of comes – doesn't quite pop
mm-hmm.
like the shots or sort of what happens. And Abigail Breslin does a great job.
She is incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. this movie is all about her.
Yeah.
And she is all over the place in this movie. And I was amazed
yep.
by how well she does in this movie. She's incredible.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I say – I'm going to say it totally rocks. It's – I thought it was a lot of fun. It's definitely something to catch before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have time.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
That's okay.
Yep.
You're allowed.
Thank you.
But, yeah, it would be it would be an interesting companion with All Is Lost because
– Really?
They are sort of a stranded type story.
Okay.
Very different.
That's a very interesting comparison.
Robert Redford is not a little girl.
Robert Redford as a teenage girl.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
But, and if you don't watch Vincenzo Natali's Haunter, you can always go watch Splice, which
no,
made no
please
money.
Don't. Please don't. Please don't see
so
that
awesome.
One. It is so terrible.
It's awesome. Yeah. But anyways, we should go to a break. We can carry on this discussion later. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the box office and our predictions, and also the world-famous DVD roundup will be coming up right after this.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can
monster mash.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
What are you going to dress up as for Halloween?
I am going to dress up as a mom who has had a very long day.
Oh, okay. Because we talked last year, I remember we talked about...
We had a big discussion about that last year.
Because your daughter went as a slutty cupcake.
Yes. This year she is going to be a slutty pumpkin.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's sexy.
You know, my husband actually was talking about something that he heard on the radio yesterday that was yeah. just one of those quick little things between songs. And somebody asked, what do sexy nurses go as for Halloween?
Here's the problem with like sexy whatever and those sort of archetypes.
Yes.
My aunt is a nurse and she's not particularly sexy.
No?
No.
Huh.
And I know nurses through her. And it's like I had to take my son is getting orthodontia work done.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him into the – and I take – you know, of course you take him and they got to do molds and everything.
Oh.
And they have their – they have the orthodontist and then all the girls that work in the office. There's one girl there who got scrubs that are obviously too tight for her.
Nice.
And she looks good in it. But everybody else are just kind of average looking people. And you're just like, this is not – Halloween lied to me. This is not this is not the way it's supposed
Truth
to work.
Truth in advertising.
What's up? Where's the high heels? You know, where's the garters?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no.
But no, yeah, my aunt, I can't get the whole sexy nurse thing because I'm just like, because then I think of my aunt and it's no.
It doesn't work for you.
And she's a wonderful person.
Not so much.
She's great, but no.
And what are you going to be this year? Because I know that you guys always do something spectacular.
Well, we originally wanted to go as Car Wars. And I was like going to be like the fat Han Solo. And like my son was going to be Luke and my wife was going to be Princess Leia.
Uh-huh.
We never got around to making those costumes. Last year, I was Bane who let himself go.
Right, which was
horrifying.
Great and terrifying all at the same time.
I haven't figured it out yet. I have a feeling mine's going to turn into my Brick Tamblyn outfit from a couple years ago.
Okay.
Where I put a lamp around my neck and it said, I love you. And I was Brick Tamblyn. I love lamp.
There you go.
And one guy actually got it. One guy actually got it. He's like, oh, that's Anchorman. I'm like, yes! So I don't know. I mean,
you know, Anchorman 2 is coming out. So.
But see, it's going to be cold. It's going to be really cold for Halloween.
It's already been snowing here.
It snowed in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome.
That reminds me of the days growing up in Michigan.
Yeah.
When, you know, sometimes we had to wear our giant winter coats over our Halloween
on Easter
costumes.
Sunday.
Yeah. Or it was sleeting. I remember that. And I always went out every year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I might be a baby. I thought about just wearing a diaper and walking around.
Yeah, okay.
That could
happen. I don't think anybody needs to see that either.
A sexy baby, maybe?
Nice.
A slutty baby?
That I would like to see.
Yeah.
Work on that.
I'm going to go as Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
No.
I'm going to have a book. And I'm going to take a nap.
You're going to take a nap one. Because well, yeah. I never get to take a nap.
Yeah. You.
Hmm.
It's just.
A nap would be so nice.
Living vicariously through you and then grinding it in and rubbing it in.
Nice.
So like, I'm napping.
Ha.
Anyways, should we talk box office?
We might as well.
Last week, and did I get these right? We both said Gravity, right?
Yeah.
I just had written down numbers.
Yeah.
Because that's how, you know, copious of notes I take during this.
It's true.
I said $35 million for Gravity. You said $29 million. You actually pretty doggone close.
That was pretty close.
$30
million. Not bad.
And then $170 million total for Gravity. That thing's just rocking away.
Which actually, I noticed this week that Gravity has now broken $300 million worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wow.
Not bad, Sandra Bullock.
You know, this is the thing that's so stupid. You know, there's some executive at Warner Brothers going, can we do Gravity 2?
Oh.
Like, really? How would you do Gravity 2? Gravity 2, Under the Sea. You know, I don't know. Suddenly, Sandra Bullock gets a job working at an undersea station in the Marianas Trench.
It'll happen. It'll probably go direct to DVD, but it'll happen. I can see it.
Yep. Captain Phillips came in number 2 with $16 million, so it's at $52 going into the weekend. That's pretty good. Carrie was a little bit soft. It came in at $16 million. They were hoping for $20 million.
That was another little point that I read this week, that Gravity made more than Carrie, Escape Plan, and The Fifth Estate combined.
Well, The Fifth Estate.
Yes.
Somehow, all the computing power and hacking in the world could not hack into the ticket database.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, Carrie made $16 million. Well, I actually went and saw that. That actually was a pretty decent movie.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
good.
It. I actually liked I thought it was a interesting remake of the Brian De Palma version with a little bit more of the book thrown in.
Cool.
But it was well done. But I don't know why people were expecting it to do well. It had no really names to it. And Stephen King's not a draw anymore
in terms of
movies.
No.
And, you know, I mean, the biggest name, I mean, Chloe Grace Moretz, but she's not exactly somebody who's headlining movies.
Not really, no.
So I thought it was fine. And it's a horror movie. The problem with movies, they're like, well, it's just horror's dead. I'm like, well, if you expect every horror movie to make $50 million opening weekend.
Well, yeah. They're not all The Conjuring.
Yeah. And yeah, you get your franchises like Paranormal Activity, and that did like $50 million its first weekend. But, you know, back when Carrie was made, even though Carrie did extremely well in 1976, they were making horror movies that would be like, they'd be middling, but they just have small budgets and they make money. So, Escape Plan was just under $10 million at $9.9 million. which is a shame because it made enough to justify putting the two of them together because it doubled. It was more than The Last Stand and Bullet to the Head combined. But yeah, these guys, unless they're doing The Expendables, they're not making a lot of money.
Mm.
Although, yeah. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Prisoners, enough said. Then The Fifth Estate with a whopping $1.7
million. $1.7
million. Let's put this in perspective here really quick.
Shall we?
When Paranoia came out, that was a notorious bomb.
Yes,
everyone was like, no one wanted to see this movie. It tanked at the box office, blah, 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 all that stuff. It made twice as much its opening weekend than The Fifth Estate did.
No.
That is how hard.
I didn't even realize that. That is amazing.
Yeah. That is how hard The Fifth Estate fell.
Wow.
So
it's sad.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't particularly like the movie.
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Yeah, you thought it was okay.
Yeah.
And then Runner Runner made about what Fifth Estate. That's the other thing. Runner Runner, like its third week.
It's Runner Runner.
It made pretty much what the Fifth Estate made.
Ugh.
Then Insidious Chapter 2 is still knocking around there. So you got a couple horror movies you can check out the last weekend of October. Machete Kills had a 69% drop and only made $1.2 million, coming in at 12. And then there's I'm in Love with a Church Girl.
See, this is all just so depressing this week.
starring as Nick Haram from Movies Hate You 2 says, starring Ja Rule and one of the Cheetah Girls.
Nice.
Made less than $1 million.
Yes.
And then All Is Lost actually had its limited release in only six theaters. It made $94,000, which is okay, but not great.
No.
For the buzz it's getting.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah. But again, six theaters, so
yeah.
Who knows?
So there's that. What do you think is going to win this weekend?
Oh, I'm going to let you pick first.
I'm going to say Bad Grandpa is going to win with $25
million. Okay.
What are you going to say?
I also have Bad Grandpa.
Yeah?
I will give it...
Well, now you're just making up numbers.
Now I'm making up numbers.
You wrote down Bad Grandpa and then a dollar sign question mark?
Yes. I'll give it a 27.
27? Okay.
Yes.
Playing the Price is Right game with me.
Might as well. You did it to me last week. It's my turn.
I'm allowed to. I'm a guy.
Oh.
That's how it works.
Okay.
Haven't you lived on Earth long enough?
Apparently not.
We change the rules.
I'm only 22.
We can write our name. I'm only 20. We can also write our names in the snow without using our hands. Just let you know. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Let's move on. Oh, my gosh. We don't have much time left. We're spending all this time talking about Halloween costumes.
Yes.
It is now time for the segment we like to call the world famous
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
I'm gonna actually, because we did the yeehaw, I'm gonna highlight the first one here. It's not the top pick, but
okay.
Dead and Tombstone.
There you go.
Which stars Danny Trejo. Yeah, it's Renny Roll or something like that. And he does all like these direct to video sequels to stuff like The Marine, 12 Rounds. I actually like his stuff. It's crap directing.
Right on.
But Danny Trejo plays in a Western, and it also stars Mickey Rourke looking like Lil' Kim on the cover of the box.
See, now that alone makes it worth running out and picking up, because now I kind of want to see it.
You want to see Lil' Kim as...
I totally do.
As
totally want to see that.
Mickey Rourke. There's also The Way, Way Back, which I loved. I thought that was a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, that's out on DVD. You have The Internship with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. Only reason to worth picking it up if you saw it in theaters or you didn't is apparently in the unrated version there's some breastilages going on.
So please tell me it's not Vince Vaughn's, because I don't need to see those.
No.
No.
Yeah, that happens. there's also Only God for... Well, you want to put that as your stinker.
Yeah. Thanks for spoiling that one.
I'm sorry. It was on my list.
My stinker of the week is Only God Forgives.
Yeah. Do you think Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Gosling.
It's way too much Ryan Gosling and not very much of anything else.
Not much.
And I even like Ryan Gosling.
There's also Before Midnight, which is... I've not seen any of these movies,
know.
The Richard Linklater films. And then Nikita Season 3, but also The Conjuring, one of the... It was a fantastic movie. I liked it.
I liked it. Didn't love it. But again...
Watching it again at home is even better.
I still love Insidious way better.
Insidious is very, very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good pick for Halloween.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
So there's that. Worth checking out. Seeing at home because you have control over the sound and the volume and no people using cell phones. And my stinker is Return of the Killer Shrews, which I don't know why they made a sequel to this. It still stars Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Anyway, sounds awesome.
We gotta go. It's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Next week we're going to talk about Ender's Game, Free Birds, and Las Vegas.
See ya.